Area 51. Conscience featuring the Digital Academy. Sit back and relax. We're going to talk about one of the biggest conspiracy theories ever known to man, Area 51.
What's up, buddy? Everybody?
This is Conscience. We got Professor Mike here. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy.
Doing good. James will be joining us soon. We're going to talk about Area 51, so make sure to subscribe. Hit that notification bell. You're watching Conscience and the Digital Academy. We're swapcasting. Yeah, this is going up on both of our channels, so make sure to subscribe. Hit that notification bell. How you doing, Professor?
Doing good, buddy. Nice to good. See you.
Yeah.
I hope everybody's doing well. Today we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into Roswell and Area 51 and some ideas around that, some misinformation around that, some kind of future or some kind of current insights around that. Just kind of go deep into that whole topic. You know, have a fun night. Get a little bit deep into the alien topic.
Let's do it.
You ready, man?
Yeah. What are we starting off with?
Okay. So remember, as soon as I do this, unmute your mic and we'll look at what started it all.
Okay, cool.
It starts with a lightning storm.
You got that
here
one?
Here it is. Yep. 1947, the first week in July. A huge lightning storm takes down a so-called flying disc on a rancher's property outside Roswell, New Mexico. And the man who finds it, his name is W.W. Mac Brazel. He's a former really
awesome
successful
name,
cowboy.
Mac Brazel.
I never actually
and
heard his name before.
He takes this wreckage to the sheriff, who in turn takes the wreckage to the Roswell Army Airfield. And at the time, the 509th Bomb Group that is stationed at the Roswell Army Airfield is the only bomber unit that is actually equipped to carry nuclear weapons.
Yeah, the link to the
and
nuclear
the military
test
intelligence
here is huge.
Sends one of its officers to a local news station in Roswell with alarming news. And so
this is information
this
I've never heard, too.
Press release has legs, and it picks up a lot of attention, and people are very interested in this. And then, 3 hours later, the military intelligence from the Roswell Army Airfield sends that same officer back to the news station to say, oops, it actually wasn't a flying disc, it was a balloon. That idea, the idea of, oh, people, nothing happened, move along, go back to your business.
It just got
it
a little
a flying
like
disc,
Meyer
it was simply
joined,
a weather
Meyer
balloon.
Cool.
That idea actually took hold.
What's up, James?
And people forgot about Roswell, New Mexico for 31 years. And that all changed in the early 80s after a ufologist named Stan Friedman, who is also a nuclear physicist, began to interview eyewitnesses who had been privy to this event back in 1947, who told these researchers, these UFO researchers, that they had kept their mouth shut because they'd been threatened by the government. And so in the early 1980s, when this came out in the form of a book, the Roswell story became front and center for many people.
Yeah, Roswell.
And about that same time,
this is Annie Jacobson from
the
New York
Times.
A man
emerged from Area 51, claiming to have seen a flying saucer there and maybe a small alien being. And this became the link between Roswell, New Mexico, and Area 51. So I was the first journalist that had 74 men who had worked at Area 51 go on the record with me about what it was like.
I've read that book. It's awesome. I'll talk about it after.
Facility. One of my sources, who was a nuclear weapons engineer, whose credentials were impeccable to me, who had been with the Atomic Energy Commission for several decades, including work on the Manhattan Project, tells me
the flying disc
that landed at Roswell had not been sent from outer space, but had in fact been sent by Stalin.
Russia.
He wanted to have as a warning shot over Truman's bow. Do I know what my source told me is true? I don't know that any amount of information that comes out will satisfy all the different so-called horses in the race, because people now have their own ideas about Roswell and what it means to them, and they don't necessarily want to let go of that. I mean, this is part of American culture. It is something that means a lot to a lot of people, and it means very different things to millions of people.
Yeah, I'll stop that a bit
earlier. That's one of those things where it's like, does anybody even really know what happened at Roswell? Because it's so compartmentalized, right? Like, no one knew about anything besides that first guy. I had never heard them talk about that, the name of the first guy that discovered the records. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's actually, that video that we just watched gave a whole another level of legitimacy to the entire topic, I think.
So can I say just a quick thing about who that woman was? So Annie Jacobson, and I know her because her first book that I think I read Area 51 is the first book from her, and I didn't read it. I listened to the audiobook. But since after that I read – no, the first one was called Surprise, Kill, Vanish, and that was about the CIA programs. And then she has another one called Pentagon Brain that's about the Pentagon. And then she did this Area 51 one, and she talked about how it was this like – weapons, it was a high-level military base that had a relationship with the Atomic Energy Commission in Nevada, where they were doing all the Manhattan Project nuclear test stuff, and that it was this highly sensitive area. And we're going to talk all about it today, but she makes the argument that perhaps the incident was maybe not aliens, was maybe a Russia craft, which...
Right.
And so anyway, so that's one idea, right? Then obviously there's the idea that it's aliens, and we're going to today go through all that. James, what's up, man?
Hey, sorry, what's up, James?
Hey, guys. Sorry I was late.
No problem, man.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, man. Great to have you.
Right back at it.
Yeah, I didn't take a day off.
That was like 2 days. Yeah. Was that last night that we did that?
I don't even remember.
No, it's a day. It was 2 days.
No, so I did take a day off. I just lied.
If anybody's watching, make sure to go watch our video from a couple days ago.
Yeah, where we
talked about Bigfoot. Yeah, Bigfoot.
Nothing but the most important topics. We did Bigfoot, alien. Maybe we're going to do pyramids and the Sphinx, Loch Ness.
Yes, we should do everything. Everything.
Okay. Wilk,
am I reading?
Go for it, man.
In mid-1947, a United States Army Air Force's balloon crashed at a ranch near Roswell, near New Mexico. Following wide initial interest in the crash flying disc, the U.S. military stated that it was merely a conventional... Scroll, please. A conventional weather balloon.
Yeah, that's always what you hear, that it's a weather balloon.
Yeah, this is like an official... Is this like an article from a newspaper or something?
No, this is Wikipedia.
This is Wikipedia. Okay.
So now the weather balloon thing sounds crazy until you see some of the experimental weather balloons that the states – I should actually find some pictures to post. But some of the weather balloons that they were actually experimenting with at that time, that they actually were experimenting with huge weather-style balloons.
That were disc-formed?
No, like I'm just saying.
They were flown
by aliens.
Yeah, okay.
Little green men flying weather balloons. Sounds
yeah, perfect. So it's telling the weather. It's not as crazy of an explanation as it sounds. But it's still probably an excuse or whatever. If you're you have to take that as an excuse, kind of, if you're going the alien route. So what about the your interest subsequently waned?
Yeah, interest subsequently waned until the late 1970s when ufologists began promoting a variety of increasingly elaborate conspiracy theories, claiming that one or more alien spacecraft had crash-landed and that extraterrestrial occupants had been recovered by the military, which then engaged in a cover-up.
Yeah, so this Wikipedia picture to the right of that looks like it's the actual Roswell Daily Record. I can't see close enough for the day, but it says the Royal Air Force captures flying saucer on ranch in Roswell region.
Right.
Do you want to do that in the 1990s?
Yeah. In the 1990s, the U.S. military published two reports disclosing the true nature of the crashed object, a nuclear test surveillance balloon from Project Mogul. What's Project Mogul? Do you want to call that up and I'll read about it?
So this is the balloon thing I was talking about. Yeah, so
Project Mogul, sometimes referred to as Operation Mogul, was a top secret project by the U.S. Army Air Forces involving microphones flown in high altitude balloons whose primary purpose was long distance detection of sound waves generated by Soviet atomic bomb tests.
Oh, I didn't know that piece. I wish I knew that piece. So think about that. So what they're saying there is these were actually balloons that were super high up in the atmosphere and their job was to detect the distortion in the atmosphere caused by the Soviets testing, testing their weapons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, remote microphones. Nevertheless, the Roswell incident continues to be part of an interest in popular media, and conspiracy theories surrounding the event persist. Roswell has been described as the world's most famous, most exhaustively investigated, and the most thoroughly debunked UFO claim. Thoroughly debunked, eh? This is kind of biased, I'd say.
I wonder, should we check what this citation is, because we can scroll back up. So what do they think has thoroughly debunked it? Gilderberg 2003. Let's see what this is. Oh, wait, maybe I can just scroll to the bottom here. References. Okay, so look,
it's Gilderberg.
Oh, look, it's not even anything. So what this A, B, C, D, that's the thing, like thoroughly debunked according to who?
It's a powerful statement, right?
Exactly. According to who is it thoroughly debunked?
Yeah.
If it was thoroughly debunked, it wouldn't even be a thing.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note.
Wilkie, can I just say one thing? Can I just say one thing? Wilkie, you should be like the orator or the aerator or the person on every video book out there, man. Like your reading voice is like on point. It's amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
It's entertaining. Yeah.
Right on. I've been working on it for a while.
Dude, it's amazing.
Keep sick. It I'm meant, yeah, meant to be podcasting.
Oh yeah.
Just designed to podcast.
Dude.
Meyer, me and Wilkie were talking about you the other day. Like you're like a perfect third person though.
Yeah,
so you can come on anytime you want. Okay, so let's check this out. So remember, guys, unmute your mics right away. This is the Roswell local news media team looking back over this incident. And then after this video, we'll keep going with that wiki page.
Okay.
30 years ago today, KLAS aired a live interview with an anonymous man who made some really astonishing claims. He alleged that the U.S. military was secretly studying alien technology out in the Nevada desert near a base that is now very well known all over the world, Area 51.
A lot has changed in the decades since Bob Lazar first told this wild story. The Pentagon recently admitted that it really has been secretly studying UFOs and then it wanted to figure out and duplicate that technology.
George Knapp looks back at that 1989 George Knapp, interview Bob Lazar, that started we keep a whole new conversation.
Yeah,
totally.
Hey, I'm not actually seeing this.
The propulsion system is a gravity propulsion
system.
There we go,
system, I'm
good. Power source, okay, cool. Antimatter reactor. This technology does not exist at all.
The claim sounded like Hollywood sci-fi.
So it looks like Bob Lazar's
blacked
out. Months
later, when his identity was revealed, Bob Lazar said he worked at a secret facility near Groom Lake, where alien technology was being reverse engineered, that is, taken apart to figure out how it worked and whether the Pentagon could duplicate it. This is the simple drawing he made at the time.
Here, now I had access and was permitted to view and look at the operation of this main level with the gravity amplifiers and the level below.
The premise seems less preposterous now. In a new documentary about Lazar, he describes in detail the spacecraft he worked on 30 years ago.
The craft that I worked on, that when it's going to travel a long distance, that is how it operates. It flies along and it puts its belly to the target and then brings all the amplifiers to power and, you know, it shoots off in that direction. It doesn't fly as it would in a science fiction movies. It flies with the belly, the bottom forward.
If the description of a spacecraft tilting sounds familiar,
with the bottom forward.
Yeah, that's weird.
Take a look at the so-called gimbal UFO, a video released by the Pentagon in 2017. Naval pilots encountered a fleet of these unknown craft off the coast of Florida in 2015 and have since had dozens of similar encounters. The spike in UFO incidents prompted a recent policy change by the Navy, which announced it wants to encourage its pilots to report future incidents. Pentagon officials reluctantly admitted to the New York Times 17 months ago that the military has secretly studied UFO incidents, in part so it might figure out the technology.
In the gimbal video, there's a mechanistic turn against the wind without deceleration. So we have a craft without rotors, without heat signatures, without plumes, without tail fins, and certainly
no tail number.
This
is the guy that was on Rogan.
Moving in a way that is counterintuitive to our own aeronautics. When Bob saw that, he came to the conclusion, this has to be a gravity-propelled craft.
It's rotating.
That it does mimic exactly the propulsion system that Bob Lazar described.
His story is extraordinary.
Jeremy Corbell directed the Lazar documentary, but he also broke the story about another now famous UFO incident, the 2004 Tic Tac encounter. The Navy pilot who engaged the Tic Tac, Black Aces commander Dave Fravor, has said he doesn't believe the astonishing craft was made on Earth, that the propulsion might be anti-gravity. When Lazar was shown the Tic Tac video for the
first time, it immediately reminded him
of the sport model, his name for the craft stashed in the desert.
There's no question in my mind. I mean, I'm virtually certain that's the way the craft operated, and that uses close to or the exact same propulsion system.
Former Pentagon intelligence officer Lou Elizondo was in charge of ATIP, the secret Pentagon study. He told us one goal of the project was to determine the physics of UFOs, how they can achieve the seemingly impossible. The military came to believe the craft relied on special metamaterials, stuff that can't be made with known technology. Lazar made similar claims decades ago and was ridiculed. Now the Pentagon is on the same page.
Where the study of UFOs did not end in 1969 with Project Blue Book. In fact, that was a lie, and it is now an admitted lie by our own Pentagon. We are living in a world where it is understood that there are craft technologically advanced from unknown origin that are performing maneuvers that far exceed anything of human technology. This has been going on a long time, and our government has been studying it.
George Knapp, 8 News Now.
Wow.
As always, we have posted additional links and resources connected to this story on our website, including news reports from our archives.
Wow.
Have either of you seen that Bob Lazar documentary?
Yeah.
No.
What was it called?
I think it's called Bob Lazar, and then like there's a subtitle related to Area 51. I don't know if it's Bob Lazar at Area 51. Damn. So check this, guys. This is what I was saying before about those crazy U.S. military weather balloons that they were testing. Was this?
You got some pictures of them?
Yeah, I got a picture I'm going to show here. Yeah, IU. Sorry, I got this all labeled. Okay. Yeah, so like they were using these huge – see that big white?
Yeah, but that does not look like a UFO whatsoever.
Yeah.
At all. That's easy.
This is what Project Mogul or whatever was. Remember?
This looks like a clear hot air balloon. That's all it looks like.
I mean, I can't see how people – definition is unidentified flying.
You guys are so hard to impress, man. So some guy creates a balloon that can tell if the Russians are testing bombs or not. Wilkie's like, wow, that doesn't impress him much.
Yeah, screw that shit. That's no problem. That's easy stuff. I could make that with my backyard, man.
Okay, let's go back to
you got high standards.
Yeah, I do. About Area 51, I have very high standards. It has to be like a smoking gun or else I'm just not going to believe it. Okay, I want to believe it, but it's just impossible.
The so-called smoking gun in UFO research in general is this event of 1947.
Okay.
So you want, like, this is the Roswell event. So you want to do this, man?
Yep. Events of 1947. Yeah, yeah. The sequence of events was triggered by the crash in a Project Mogul balloon near Roswell.
On so June notice 14- how this Wikipedia – sorry, Wilk. Notice how this Wikipedia page is presenting all of this. from a very clear bias of that bullshit.
Just that first sentence right there.
Yeah, just how they word it, right?
Yeah.
They already above said it was like a
it's totally biased.
Debunked or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's obviously a biased way of
saying
it.
Wow.
Yeah. On June 14th, 1947, William Brazell, a foreman working in the J.B. Foster Ranch, noticed clusters of debris approximately 30 miles north of Roswell, New Mexico. This date, or about 3 weeks before July 8th, appeared in a later story featuring Brazell, but the initial press release from the – scroll, please.
Sorry, buddy.
From the Roswell Army Airfield said the find was sometime last week, suggesting Brazell found the debris in early July. Brazell told the Roswell Daily Record that he and his son saw a large area of bright wreckage made up of rubber strips, tinfoil, and rather tough paper and sticks. He paid little attention to it, but returned on July 4th with his son, wife, and daughter to gather up the material. Some accounts have described Brazell as having gathered some of the material earlier, rolling it together and stashing it under some shrubs. The next day, Brazell heard reports of flying discs and wondered if that was what he had picked up. On July 7th, Brazell saw Sheriff Wilcox and whispered kind of confidential-like that he may have found a flying disc. He whispered kind of confidential-like.
I think I might have found some aliens.
I might have found some aliens, guys.
Off the record.
Another account quotes Wilcox as saying Brazell reported the object on July 6th. Wilcox called RAAF.
Oh, sorry, man. It's funny up here where it says he saw the wreckage, this alien wreckage that looked like a bunch of rubber strips, tinfoil, tough paper, and sticks. It's like, that's not super descriptive, man. Like it looked like it was made of sticks.
Yeah, sticks and tinfoil.
They're able to fly from another galaxy. Tinfoil sticks.
Tinfoil sticks. Tinfoil sticks. A little bit of just random rubber.
Some super glue.
Yeah, before, man, I called it the RAAF. I called that the Royal Air Force, but it's like the Roswell Air Force Air Base Field or something, right? So it's like their specific New Mexico kind of air base.
I wonder if they had duct tape on that thing too.
Yeah, there must have been some duct tape.
It's all just Gorilla tape and super glue. Yeah.
Wilcox called RAAF Major Jesse Marcel, and Marcel brought Lieutenant Colonel Sheridan Cavett and Master Sergeant Bill Rickett to the ranch, where more pieces were picked up. We spent a couple of hours Monday afternoon looking for any more parts of the weather device, said Marcel. We found a few more patches of tinfoil and rubber. On July 8th, 1947.
The weather device, right? They're already
debunked. Tinfoil. Tinfoil. I mean, tinfoil or just really, really thin metal. You know, who knows?
Oh, man.
On July 8th, 1947, RAAF Public Information Officer Walter Hout issued a press release stating the personnel from the field's 509th Operation Group had recovered a flying disc, which had crashed on a ranch near Roswell, as described in the July 9th, 1947 edition of the Roswell Daily Record. The balloon... which held it up.
What Wilkie's reading now is a quote from the Roswell, like that local newspaper. Okay, go ahead.
The balloon which held it up, if that was how it worked, must have been 12 feet.
I love when people are so like insecure when they're writing. It's like they're describing it. This is how they described it, if that's how it worked. Okay, anyways, I guess they're describing a UFO crash. So some
Brazell felt measuring the distance by the size of the moon of the where I just lost my place.
The size of the moon. Maybe just
size of the room in which he sat. Yeah. The rubber was smoky gray in color and scattered over an area about 200 yards in diameter. When the debris was gathered up, the tinfoil, paper, tape, and sticks made a bundle about 3 feet long and 7-8 inches thick, while the rubber made a bundle about 8 to 20 inches long and about 8 inches thick. In all, he estimated the entire lot would have weighed maybe about 5 pounds.
Man,
there was no sign of any metal in the area, which might have been used for an engine, and no signs of any propellers of any kind.
Yeah,
Where's this information coming from?
Well, this is Wikipedia again, right? I've looked into Wikipedia.
This sounds like straight up conjecture, man.
Yeah,
like it's made up.
We might want to chill on this and go back to some videos, because I've read about Area 51 like a million times in my life, and I've never heard as many references to like. Tape, sticks,
yeah,
tin foil. Like it's like, okay.
Weighed about 5 pounds. That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like this sounds like some kind of crazy super advanced like alloy. Like describing it as tinfoil doesn't, like maybe it was a tinny shiny color. But do you want to hear what Trump has to say about this?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Before you leave office, will you let us know if there's aliens? Because this is the only thing I really want to know. I want to know what's going on. Would you ever open up Roswell and let us know what's really going on there?
So many people ask me that question.
I know, it sounds almost ridiculous.
Can we make that louder?
The real question sounds like
no, sorry, man.
There are millions and millions of people.
I can't. I'm not seeing anything or hearing anything.
I won't talk to you about what I know about it, but it's very
okay. It's just another couple seconds.
But Roswell's a very interesting place with
there we
a
go.
Lot of people that would like to know what's going on.
So you're saying you may declassify? No. You'll take it?
Well, I'll have to think about that one, right?
All right.
You'll have to think about declassifying.
Hey, man, it's like that is though the president of the United States talking about Roswell directly, right? Like,
admitting.
So it is kind of interesting.
But if he's got to think about declassifying it, like. What does that mean exactly? Like, there's nothing.
It means he knows something that's sensitive that the public might not be able to hear without consequence.
Interesting.
There must be some kind of consequence as a result of hearing the information that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his son asking him, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, guys, the way I have these videos embedded, unfortunately, I can't like affect the individual video volume. But what about this? This next one's looking at how the town of, I think it's called Rachel, Nevada.
Yeah. Like the town. That's the one right outside Area 51, right, Rachel?
Yeah. Do you want to see a relatively recent news feature about remembering the event?
Yeah, sure. That sounds good.
13 Action News, elevating Las Vegas, live at 11.
It's no longer a laughing matter. More than 1 million people have expressed interest on Facebook to
super loud intro music for that news.
Heavily guarded places on the planet, Area 51. Good evening, everybody. I'm Trisha Keene.
And I'm Ty Quinones. Now, the interest for hotel rooms and other places to stay for the weekend of September 20th is, well, we could say, out of this world. And 13 Action News reporter Joe Bartels takes you to the tiny town that hopes these so-called truth seekers come in peace.
Yeah, remember this storm area?
50? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to bring up more about that.
Tiny that idea. Nevada in the dusty Nevada desert. It has a restaurant, a bar, and just 13 rooms to rent. And now people asking to stay the night just to get close to Area 51. It feels like the center of the universe.
I have no rooms on the tourney.
At the little Ailey Inn.
Is a full-size bed. Okay, for the two of you.
That's Connie West, the owner of this family-run establishment.
The sausage burger's a round burger.
On a typical day, she's busy.
Yes.
Thank you. Coleslaw.
And in Rachel, Nevada, the population
saucer
of
burger.
Six people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Even a usual visitor crowd can be a tall order to handle.
Our phones have been ringing off the hooks.
The trouble started last week and put Rachel, Nevada on the map.
A million said they were interested, and another million said that they... We're coming.
The idea to storm nearby Area 51. It ignited the internet.
Took off like a wildfire, I guess.
Just down the road, past this unassuming mailbox, lies Area 51, the fortress of government and military secrets.
It's going to be interesting. Very interesting.
The nearby Alien Research Center, tended by Linda Looney, is also preparing for an invasion.
I hope there's not that many people that...
It's funny, she heads the UFO Research Center and her last name is Looney.
After all, they've seen a lot.
Why can't it be possible?
But now, they don't know what to expect.
There is not that many hotel rooms up here.
Connie knows the burgers.
Yeah, they just said they were going to wait for a while.
Oh, those burgers look good, though.
They're kind of thin.
This is what we could do. Nothing more.
Double it up.
And now, all
Yeah, double it up.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese 13.
So,
all right, we will see what happens. But in the meantime.
Yeah, like, do we even have to say how dumb the Storm Area 51 idea is?
Did
like,
they say they were expecting a million people, or did I miss
a million people said they were going.
You know what they did? What the government did was so smart.
What did they do?
It's like, what my read of the situation is, they basically saw that was happening and realized that it was just becoming like a dumb Facebook social media thing. And they basically planned like a huge rave party in that like area that's not even at Area 51 yet. I think it kind of distracted people. I don't know. I'm probably going to get ripped for saying that. But I think like basically they did like a distraction thing. No one stormed Area. You're not storming Area 51. That's so dumb. That's like the most highly secure spot in the United States.
But imagine if a million people did it at the same time. There'd be no way to stop them.
It's insane.
There'd be no way.
A million people. We're gonna look at Area 51 in a second and realize, first of all, once they breach that gate, they have a huge distance before they hit any kind of
facility. Like kilometers, right? Like a long.
They're just gonna have guys like picking them off with machine guns or what? Like,
plus think about how much a million people in a line. Like the logistics are insane. Yeah, a million people at once would be overwhelming. But it's like, so, first of all the people have to get there. It's only one road out to.
It was like
a nightmare trying to.
So you're saying the government put on this giant raid distracted a million people?
I'm just speculating.
Yeah, it seems to.
Okay, well let's look at this a little bit more.
Let's go storm Area 51. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, man.
Oh, wait, there's this huge rave down the street. Let's go there and do.
Let's go hit the rave instead.
There's a bunch of hot girls wearing alien outfits over there, or you can get shot over here.
Let's go find out if aliens really exist, or go to a rave and do illicit drugs.
Yeah.
Hang out projects. Okay.
If that was an intentional redirect. That's
brilliant. Yeah, that's awesome.
So want to hear from the kid that started this whole thing?
Definitely.
That new emergency order issued for Area 51. Yes, that spot near Las Vegas, famous for extraterrestrial conspiracy theories. Now, millions say they're going to visit after a post went viral on Facebook, and officials are on alert. Will Reed.
Hi.
What say you?
I say that a whole bunch of people are signed up on Facebook to storm Area 51, and the organizer of the group said he was joking and he's changed the concept for next month's big event that's on September 20th. But local officials are not taking any chances.
Nevada officials are bracing for an invasion at Area 51. By humans. The military base 80 miles from Las Vegas has become infamous for conspiracy theories about little green men.
They certainly appear to still be covering up what exactly goes on at Area 51.
If you and I walked in on everything that was being done, I'm sure we would be flabbergasted.
Home to an alien prisoner in Independence Day and countless encounters with the X-Files Agent Mulder.
It's all our questions, the proof that we've suspected but never been able to hold in our hands. That proof is here.
Now the extraterrestrial hub is front and center thanks to a Facebook group dubbed Storm Area 51, They Can't Stop Us All, attracting more than 2 million
fans.
Yes, they can.
It
quickly went from a joke to no laughing matter.
The FBI agents that showed up, they showed up at 10 a.m. because I was kind of scared at this point, but they were super cool. They really
this is the guy,
make sure I wasn't
Matty
like
Roberts.
He's got a Slayer hat on.
He was just playing around, man. He was just playing around.
Any alien visitors or ships issued a stern warning saying, quote, any attempt to illegally access military installations or military training areas is dangerous, and promised to, quote, defend America and its assets. Creator Matty Roberts stood down.
It's insane. I just created a joke while I was playing video games, man, and it's taken off to this, like, absolutely wild monster.
Now his wild monster has morphed into a vision for a different invasion. Up to 50,000 festival goers descending on the otherworldly tourism hotspot.
Yeah, they turned it into a festival.
But behind those barbed wire fences, officials are tracking something. The military reporting a spike in reports of unidentified flying objects of the very real variety. Fighter pilots sharing their stories of close encounters in the skies. And officials are paying attention. According to the Washington Post, the Defense Department is spending $22 million on a government program looking into UFOs.
That creator, Matty Roberts, has a disclaimer up on the Storm Area 51 page saying, hello, U.S. government, this is a joke, saying he just wanted some likes on the internet. Nobody's going to storm the base. But that festival alien stock that they changed it to sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you should go.
Alien stock.
I will. How about that? Next month, I'll go hang out.
Oh, my God.
Do a live.
Sounds good now. Yeah.
Exactly. They're selling out. Thousands of people going.
You know, we can't really diss the alien stock idea too hard because last podcast we all agreed we would go to a Bigfoot convention.
Yep. So. I'd go to alien stock too, man. 100%.
Oh, definitely. Let's go.
If it happens, we're going.
Oh yeah, man, I'd go in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that'd be a blast. Blast. I want to show you guys something. This made me think of this other one I want to show. Do you guys just want to chat for a bit, or do you want me to just show another one? I got another cool one. This one like called a stealth. So you're hearing sometimes instead of UFO now, you hear people use the term UAV.
Yeah.
An unidentified aerial vehicle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so but check out this military
but that's like
vehicle. I don't know.
They're saying it's a vehicle, like a UFO doesn't define it as a vehicle. They're defining it as a vehicle that transports someone or something.
Yeah, so an unidentified flying object wouldn't necessarily
could be anything. It could
have
be, anything.
Be mechanical. It could even be biological.
Right.
Yeah.
So the word vehicle is pretty specific in how it applies mechanically.
Exactly. Right.
That's a good point.
Thanks, brother. All right, man. So yeah, let's check out this stealth UAV, unidentified aerial vehicle prototype. So these are guys trying to make their own UFO. And we'll end today. One of the things I want to show near the end is I don't know if I mentioned last time how you can use Photoshop to add a UFO to a picture. Remember we were talking about how we should have Myers' brother on to talk about that? And like, but yeah, I'll show that one after. I can just see it here too. But let's watch this one first. So it starts out prototype and then they start to build it. This is kind of cool. This is kind of the concept. You can see how people would think that's a UFO.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's pretty small.
Meyer, your video seems to cut in after like a minute or something.
Yeah, it's weird, eh?
Is it in now? Is it good?
It's actuator. Black screen. And there we go. I'm in.
Okay, cool. So, Meyer, the beginning, they're showing the kind of blueprint drawings of this thing.
That looks like a first generation
Blackbird?
No, like, what do you call those things? The. I forget the name.
Hold stealth bomber?
Sure.
The YouTube bombers things?
Yeah.
The That's Blackbird. Crazy. Yeah. It's called the SR-71. What we called the Blackbird.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. They must have a GoPro on the top of it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for sure.
I could see that being mistaken as a UFO.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, the size that of it. Thing would be so maneuverable. Like,
if I saw that fly over my house, I'd be telling everyone I saw a UFO.
Typically, when you're flying an airplane, you're deflecting control surfaces in order to maneuver or to reject wind gusts. These deflecting surfaces make the airplane more vulnerable to being detected by hostile forces.
As we look to try to field the next-generation UAVs, we find that they're limited by the fact
this is the U.S. military channel.
They're more expensive than we'd like them to be. So to try to slash the weight and cost out of the system, we want to reduce their mechanical complexity. And to do so, we're looking at modern flow control techniques, which permit you potentially to be able to control the airplane in flight without the use of any kinds of mechanical surfaces.
Wow.
Wait a sec. Control it in flight without any mechanical instruments?
Surfaces.
Yeah,
surfaces.
Yeah, what does mechanical surfaces mean? I'm not. Does that mean like control panels?
I have no idea what he meant by that.
Yeah.
That was above my head. Those guys are really smart and calm considering they're trying to build UFOs. You know, they're just like geeks that grew up. They're just like, now they're just like, I got it made.
That's why I commented on it. It was like, it almost slowed down the video. It was like, and now we want to talk to this guy. And the guy's like, so this thing looks like a UFO.
So I built a UFO. It's a reverse. We can control it without any mechanical surfaces.
It just is designed to go through wormholes. Yeah. You heard of a wormhole.
It's okay. It doesn't really get me that excited.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Man, you're doing a recorded video about how cool your thing is. Okay.
Yeah.
Wilk, let's switch from Roswell. Let's go straight to Area 51, man. That Roswell page kind of sucked.
Yeah. This is Wikipedia again. WikiOne?
Yep.
Okay. Are you going to get me a different screen or are you going to scroll up a little bit?
Yeah, just once you get going here, I'll Area 51. Can you see this?
Yep. Area 51 is the common name. Nevada testing. Area 51 is a common name of a highly classified United States Air Force facility located within the Nevada Test and Training Range, a remote detachment administered by Edwards Air Force Base. The facility is officially called Homey Airport or Groom Lake, named after the salt flats situated next to its airfield.
Sorry, I made the text smaller so I don't scroll as much. There you go.
I don't know where I am here.
Details of the facility's operations.
Details of the facility's operations are not publicly known, but USAF says that it is an open training range and it is most likely supports the development and testing of experimental aircraft and weapons systems. The USAF acquired the site in 1955, primarily for flight testing, the Lockheed U-2 aircraft.
That's what Meyer was talking about before. The Lockheed U-2. We should maybe come back to that. That's one of the main high, crazy high-end secretive crafts that they made at Area 51.
Okay.
So Area 51.
But now it's public?
Well, Area 51 was this interesting collaboration between the United States Air Force and the CIA. So I think – so there was these two elements there, right, in this group called Skunk Work from Lockheed Martin. So I think you said Lockheed Martin just a second ago. But that's a company that makes planes, and then within them is Skunk Work, you may have heard of, which is like they're kind of high-end guys that do these like super experimental U.S. government stuff.
Okay. The intense secrecy surrounding the base has made it the frequent subject of conspiracy theories and a central component of unidentified flying object folklore. The base has never been declared a secret base, but all research and occurrences in Area 51 are top secret, sensitive, compartmented information. The CIA publicly acknowledged the existence of the base for the first time on June 25th, 2013. Jesus, I didn't realize it was that recent. Following a Freedom of Information Act, a FOIA request filed in 2005, and they declassified documents detailing the history and the purpose of Area 51. Area 51 is located in the southern portion of Nevada in the western United States, 83 miles northwest of Las Vegas. The surrounding area is a popular tourist destination, including the small town of Rachel on the extraterrestrial highway.
Yeah, man. Let's keep going here because I think the geography is key here, and then I got some more videos.
The original rectangular base of 6 by 10 miles is now part of the slow-called Groom Box, a rectangular area measuring 23 by 25 miles of restricted airspace. The area is connected to the internal Nevada test site road network with paved roads leading south to Mercury and west to Yucca Flat. So
now think about this for a sec. What do you think test site means? Test what?
I don't know. Weapons, right? I would think. Didn't they test nuclear bombs there too?
Yeah, man, that's where they're testing bombs. So this is where they're testing bombs during. This is during the Cold War, right? Mm-hmm. This is during Cold War tensions with Russia. This is where they're testing bombs. Why this is important is because this is all in the same geographic area of the states. This is in like, what does it say there, Nevada? It's in this like the Nevada test site is this huge area. I think we're going to get to it in a sec. Go ahead, man.
The area is connected to the internal Nevada test site road network with paved roads leading south to Mercury and west to Yucca Flat, leading northeast from the lake. The wide and well-maintained Groom Lake Road runs through a pass of jumbled hills. The road formerly led to mines in the Groom Basin, but has been improved since their closure. Its winding course runs past a security checkpoint, but the restricted area around the base extends farther east. After leaving the restricted area, Groom Lake Road descends eastward to the floor of Teekaboo Valley, passing the dirt road entrances to several small ranches before converging with State Road 375, the extraterrestrial highway south of Rachel.
Yeah, that's interesting because it calls it Groom Lake Road. I remember when I was younger that almost slang word for Area 51 was Groom Lake. And I think that's actual a reference.
I've heard that too. I've heard that before.
Geography. Yeah, maybe Groom Lake's like an actual thing. They also sometimes will call it Dreamland. Okay. So let's just, you want to just read that last piece, Wilk, and then the Groom Lake description.
Area 51 shares a border with the Yucca Flat region of the Nevada test site, the location of 739 of the 928 nuclear tests conducted by the United States Department of Energy in NTS. The Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Depository is 44 miles southwest of Groom Lake. Groom Lake is a salt flat in Nevada used for runways for the Neal's Bombing Range Test Site Airport on the north of Area 51 military installation. The lake at 4,409 feet elevation is approximately 3.7 miles from the north to the south and 3 miles from the east to the west at its widest point. Located within the namesake Groom Lake Valley portion of the Tonopah Basin, the lake is 25 miles south of Rachel, Nevada.
Should we almost click on this just to see what it looks like?
Groom Lake is a dry lake, no more water. Also described as a salt flat in Nevada. It is used for runways of the Neal's Bombing Range Test Site Airport.
Yeah, so I remember hearing that one of the reasons they picked this area. So look at this picture. This is a pretty cool picture of it. So you can see, like, I guess when they were flying overhead, the Air Force, when they were picking the place, it's like it's the most deserted kind of I guess the Groom Lake salt flats are almost like a natural runway.
Yeah, it's like a big runway of salt, white salt.
Yeah, it's,
look, how light and color it is. Imagine how easy that would be to see from the air.
Yeah, you want to just do this, Wilk?
Yeah. The nearest publicly accessible vantage point is Tikaboo Peak, 26 miles
away. Start up here, buddy, because this is a new one.
Oh, I didn't read that already?
Buddy.
I already read that.
Okay.
The nearest publicly accessible vantage point is Tikaboo Peak, 26 miles to the east. There were two closer vantage points dubbed Freedom Ridge and the White Sides, but they were closed to public access in 1995 to prevent people from taking pictures of the installation. Lead and silver were discovered in the southern part of Groom Range in 1864 in the English Groom Lead Mines. The limited company finances to Conception Mines in the 1870s, giving the district its name. Nearby mines included Maria, Willow, and White Lake. The mining claims in Groom were acquired by J.B. Osborne and partners of the patent in 1876. The Osborne son acquired the interest in the 1890s. The claims were proved in 1916 when two companies began working with their mines. That work continued until 1918 and resuming after World War II until the early 1950s. And that is, and it's at this point that the government purchased that land?
Yeah, I guess 1950s? That seems to be what it's implying. I think what's interesting there, I don't know, why is that got me his figure? Here we go. One thing that's interesting about that is, like, think about like Lake Superior and stuff, like some of the lakes in Canada where they're salt mining, and they're taking it from under the water often, and it creates these huge underground caverns, which is kind of interesting to think of in relation to Area 51. Okay, so I want to show you guys this. This is kind of interesting. New photos of alleged aliens at Area 51.
Good afternoon. A photo has surfaced a lot of people are claiming is proof that the
photos.
Roswell UFO incident
nude
was
photos?
Real.
Nude alien photos.
Alien.
Alien type creature, and they claim it was taken in 1947 in Roswell. Who better to check it out than our Roswell reporter, Cheyenne Cope? She hit the UFO museum.
I'm gonna miss
to see
all the good nude photos of aliens because my camera is delayed.
Well, the picture definitely has people talking at the UFO
museum.
Don't tell
them about it, Wilkie.
There we go.
One of the first things you hear when you
they are naked.
Roswell.
They are naked.
Aliens. And people come from all over the country to see them. I am a firm believer in aliens. Well, this week, a never before seen picture was released that some people believe is more proof that a UFO did crash here back in 1947.
This is what Stephen Greer released, right?
Yeah, man. It is real. It hasn't been nice doctored. Cookie. It hadn't been touched. It is from that time period.
I'm going to end with Stephen Greer tonight.
That were in this area in 1947.
So, the photo was revealed at a conference in Mexico City.
What's that look?
Tuesday.
I mean,
someone
Mark?
Claimed they found it in a.
Where did they get this photo? Like, where's this guy hanging out?
This
like,
is a, this is an actual being that Dr. Stephen Greer released to the public.
Eisenhower.
It's a tiny human.
Well,
it's like proportionate,
just another
but it's like a foot tall or something.
Fueling the debate again over what's known as the Roswell UFO incident.
If anyone's wondering what Wilkie's talking about, I think that documentary was called Sirius, like S-I-R-U-S. S-I-R-U-S, like Sirius, the star system.
Yeah.
I guess, okay, it'd be a game changer.
Okay, I guess it's a game changer.
So what did people visiting the museum today think?
It's like, I guess that's a real alien.
Of course, it's a lot more fun to believe it could have been aliens. You know, I can't say I believe one way or the
put
other,
for his job, he's visiting a museum.
I think it would be really, like, silly not to believe that there's something out there other than us.
Now, the museum director did also tell us that the slide will be down here in Roswell for the UFO Festival in July. Kim, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Cheyenne.
Huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we should really, I hope we're dipping into Greer a little bit.
What do you mean?
Because he has this whole system where he can, like, communicate with aliens through meditation. That's how he's doing it. Have you read about that? Have you seen things about that?
What do you call that, Wilk? Let's see if you can get it. You got it.
I don't know, man. It's called something?
He calls that a close encounter of the fifth
kind. Oh, yeah, fifth kind. Okay, so okay.
People may have heard of Close Encounter, obviously, of the third kind. Was like a huge movie in like the 90s or 80s. I forget. Okay, but before we get to that, can we just do – sorry, Meyer, what were you going to say?
No, I was just – keep going. It's all good.
No, I was just going to say, can we do a couple more Bob Lazar things before we move on? And then we'll do Stephen Greer. Stephen Greer is kind of just a bit of a topic change.
Yeah.
Just, I kind of got him lined up here, just kind of thematically.
Oh, I'm so glad I mentioned him.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm going to say, I literally, the last video I'm going to show is on Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Okay, so, yeah, let's talk about this new. So what, remember that the earlier ones we were looking at, and they're talking about this guy that was at Area 51 and he leaked to the press on the George Knapp show, Bob Lazar, that they had the materials from the crash site, right? And that these materials were, what was it again, Wilk?
It was like sticks.
No. Sorry, that like element 115.
Element 115. Yeah, rubarium or something like that. Right. What's it called? Like rubarium.
Yeah. Well, this is what
something
it is.
Something like that.
When setting the periodic table, leave room for an extra element. Researchers in Sweden say they've made one by slamming together the atoms of calcium and americium. And it's a beast. Its atomic number is 115, much heavier than lead or uranium.
Unipentium.
Its temporary name is unipentium, much harder to say than lead or uranium. But you can't see it. Right after the atoms collided, the element disappeared in a flash of radiation. You can't find it. It doesn't exist in nature. Swedish scientists can't say they invented it. Russian researchers first made this element in 2004. And you can't really do anything with it. They say it's just not practical. Some folks might be elementally confused about why we should care at all. Well, researchers say it did confirm that the 2004 study created a new element, even for just a moment. Scientists hope that one day, experiments like these could lead to the lasting creation of a new, usable element. And if Ununpentium is approved by a committee combining members of the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry and the International Union of Pure and Applied Physics, say that three times fast, it could change the periodic table as we know it. Like everything on that chart, it's elementary. Carl Azus, CNN, Atlanta.
Okay, so now to follow that up directly with this.
Why does the government hide this? Well, so we all believe. Most people believe in extraterrestrials.
Right.
Most people. So what are they afraid of?
Welcome.
We're living in a different world now. Since December of 2017 with Commander David Fravor, the Tic Tac UFO case, which I broke before the New York Times. I reported on that twice. That case opened the door, so we now know the government did not stop studying UFOs in 1969. There's a program called ATIP. That program is now acknowledged. So what are they afraid of? I think they're afraid of weaponization. I think that's the issue here. And also, you're right, we're not alone in the universe, but are they visiting here? And that's the question that they've been unwilling.
Well, I always said it's, why don't they just release information that these events occurred and they can keep the technology secret? That I've never understood, so I'm with you on that.
Why are they afraid of you? What are you going to tell us?
Just what I did, that the existence of the project.
All right. Why are they so afraid of that?
I don't. You'd have to ask them that.
Why do you think, Jim? What are they afraid of?
You know, I don't really know. I think that it's a big concept, Larry. It's a big concept that we're not alone and that we're being visited. And in 1989, that's explosive. To this day, we're in a different world. I do believe that. What has come out by the Pentagon, the videos by Commander Fravor, that they admitted there are unknown aerial objects of advanced technology that are fly with impunity in our airspace. It is now admitted by our government. If people don't know that, they now need to know that. We're in a different world. I'm very optimistic.
Never miss a beat. Subscribe to Larry King now and watch new episodes every day.
God bless Larry King.
So I got one more quick image. Just follow this straight up with another Larry King one.
What's element 115?
Element 115 is a super heavy element. It's something that we only just recently synthesized. We only made 4 atoms of it. But the craft uses larger quantities of it, 223 gram little triangles of it. But it's a unique element. When it's exposed to radiation, it produces its own gravitational field, its own anti-gravitational field, and it's what's used to lift and propel the craft and create distortions around it. It's an amazing material, and it's certainly nothing that occurs here or naturally.
And it can be weaponized, and that's kind of the issue here. If this story is all true, that can be weaponized.
Weaponized.
Absolutely. Never miss a beat. Subscribe to Larry King now.
Right, and that would be like the huge fear of the states is like, imagine if a different country weaponized that kind of a technology first. Because Meyer, you were on this episode, but when me and Wilk were talking about that Tic Tac thing with that Fravers guy, that military Air Force Admiral guy was saying is that to conceptualize it, it's like it's not a craft going this way being propelled.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's somehow manipulating gravity and falling into that space. And that's – so it's not a propulsion-based. It's actually – it's almost like it's here, and it's using some technology to take the gravity that's here and fall away. And as it does that, it's instantly where – wow. It goes to almost.
It follows. Which is what I know, it follows negative gravity, like anti-gravity. It follows the anti-gravity. It's crazy. Yeah. Element 115.
Hmm. Yeah, man.
Crazy.
Do you guys want to see? Now we're at the point where we're like over an hour. Like, do you want to just see? I got like just a couple random interesting ones to kind of finish with, and then
mine as well, man.
I want to show you. Basically, I want to show you the Navy's version of Area 51. Then we'll do how to Photoshop an alien UFO, and then we'll end with fifth element. Awesome. Is that cool? Or fifth, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this one's cool. It's called the Navy's Area 51. The Navy has its own Area 51 base, and it's right in the middle of the Bahamas. The Air Force has a secret base for testing new aircraft and technology at Area 51 in Nevada, and the Navy has its own version, an undersea test evaluation center, AUTEC for short. It's a USA Navy base on Andreas Island in the Bahamas. They began developing the base in 1964 to test underwater vehicle weapons and systems. The location's right by an area called the Tongue of the Ocean, T-O-T-O for short. The U-shaped oceanic trench with a flat bottom measures 20 miles by 150 miles, surrounded by islands, reefs, and shoals. This is where they're testing underwater weapons and subs and stuff. Isolated from ocean disturbances, specifically any high ambient noise. Perfect for testing and calibrating underwater vehicles, weapons, and tech. It's crazy, eh? Like submarine sonar, targeting systems. Remember, Wilkie, it was that Tic Tac something was under the water. The complex has labs, workshops, other advanced equipment and technologies utilized by the Navy. The base trains and certifies sub captains and crews. Companion facilities in West Palm Beach handles the logistics and administration for the beach, for the base. 2 daily flights. That's
crazy.
I hadn't heard of that before.
I didn't know that. I just learned something new today.
Yeah, man. Check out this. So this one's kind of neat too. How to Photoshop a UFO into a picture. This is about 3 minutes, but it's kind of cool.
Okay.
Hi, this is Marty from Blue Lightning TV. I thought it would be fun to show you how to transform a regular photo into your own close encounter of the first kind. This document is 1920 by 1080 pixels with a resolution of 150 pixels per inch. The first step is to remove all the color from the photo. To do this, press Ctrl-Shift-U or Command-Shift-U on a Mac. Then we'll use auto levels by pressing Ctrl or Command-Shift-L. We'll make the photo gradually darker as it gets closer to the edges. I find the easiest and most effective way to do this is to use the Lens Correction filter. Click on the Custom tab and slide the vignette amount all the way to the left and the midpoint.
You guys
to the
ever
left.
Use Photoshop?
Yeah, I did it a little bit.
I'd like to angle the photo. Not It'll give much. It a look like we grabbed the camera quickly and had no time to frame it. Press Ctrl or Command plus T to call up your transform tool, go to a corner, and drag it clockwise. To see the entire transform on your screen, press Ctrl or Command plus 0. To fill in the empty areas of your image, you could use the Content Aware filter, but for now, let's just use the Transform tool to enlarge the photo.
This is just a couple more minutes. This is
Go to
it,
a corner man. And press Shift and Alt or Shift and
Anyone
Option
at home,
and
this
drag
is showing
out.
You how step by step you could do it if you
When
want.
You've covered all the empty areas, press Enter or Return. There are many photos of UFOs on the internet that you could use for your finished image. For your convenience, I provided the link to this photo in the video's description so you can download it directly. To get it into your background, click anywhere on the image and drag it up onto the tab of your background. Without releasing your mouse or pen, drag it down onto your background, then release. Call up your transform tool and drag it to an area where you'd like it to be. Reduce it to a size you'd like and reposition it, then press Enter or Return. Next, remove all the color. Go to Filter, Blur, and Gaussian Blur. We'll blur it by 3 pixels. Let's give our UFO some more motion. Go to Filter, Blur, and Motion Blur. We'll choose an angle that matches the angle of the UFO, and for this image, the distance of the blur will be 30 pixels. Make a copy of the UFO layer, and make the original layer active.
Guys, I'll be right
Go
back
to Filter, Blur, and Motion Blur. This time, we'll make the distance 86 pixels. Next, we'll remove this extra motion blur from the front of our UFO, so it looks like it's leaving a motion trail behind it. Click on the layer mask icon to make a layer mask next to the extra blurred layer. Call up your brush tool. I'm choosing a 45-point brush at 100% opacity. Now, brush over the front half of the UFO. When you're done, click on the top layer to make it active and press Ctrl-Shift-Alt-E or Command-Shift-Option-E on a Mac to make a composite snapshot of our entire image. Go to Filter and Filter Gallery. Open the Texture folder and choose Grain. We'll make the Intensity 35, Contrast 50, and the Grain Type Clumped. I'd like to add a lens flare to
like
the UFO
video,
to enhance
cool
the effect
how,
of the bright reflective spot
done.
On
you
it. Go to Filter, Render, and Lens Flare. I'll make the lens type 50 to 300 millimeter zoom. So drag the lens flare right over the bright spot on the UFO. For this image, I'll make the brightness 123%. Remove all the color and bring down the opacity to 60%. Go back to Filter and Filter Gallery. We'll keep grain and its parameters the same.
This is Marty from Blue Lightning TV. Thanks for watching.
It can be done pretty simply.
And that's like not even talking about how we live in this age of now deep fake and like the ability to edit video is just so crazy. Like, so it's interesting because if you ever want to see a cool show on the History Channel, they have that show Project Blue Book. It's kind of like a new X-Files style show, but Project Blue Book, we should do an episode on because that's what they called the project within the, I think it was an Air Force CIA joint program that
it's like a drama like X-Files was.
It's like X-Files. If you liked X-Files, you'd like that show.
Oh yeah,
it's
you should watch it every night.
Like every cool. case is
oh, 9 o'clock on Fox.
I'm yeah. a hardcore X-Files fan. but it was it's like that same idea where every week they're testing a new case related to that. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to disprove it to they're using like basically what you'd call the scientific method or a falsification process where they're trying to prove everything that could be an explanation, right? It's not a weather balloon. It wasn't birds. It wasn't a reflection of a light in a distance. It wasn't car lights over a hill in the distance. It wasn't some weird weather pattern. It wasn't, you know, an electromagnetic effect of some type, right? They're trying to rule those kinds of things out.
Okay.
Remember what we said with that other one we did, Wilkie, and it was like the new word for that is like the, Meyer. There was these people and they're talking about, it was like the aerial threat identification program, ATIP. Me and Wilkie were talking about, like, imagine running into an old buddy at a bar and they're like, where do you work? It's like, oh, I just work for the aerial threat identification program. I just try to look into reports of UFOs and assess how much of a threat they are to our current military. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddies. You guys want to do this Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind?
Yeah, for sure. I like Greer's a great way to end it because he's kind of like the future of everything.
Yeah, man. Do you guys have anything, any big points on aliens to make before we end this? I think it's basically we're just looking at kind of a bunch of the ideas around this, right? Around Roswell. It's like, at a certain point, they didn't storm Area 51. We don't know. It's probably some – it is guaranteed at the very least to be like a super high-end military tech there.
Do you guys think we'll ever know? You think we'll ever know for sure, 100%?
There's so much misinformation. Fake news.
Oh man, I have the.
You are fake news.
I didn't get to that.
Nice.
I do have that sound that's clip. Awesome. But yeah, it's who knows, right? I think the chances of there being aliens in general is very, very, very high. I think the chances of there being aliens at Area 51 is significantly lower. But I'm not going to say it's not possible.
It's I'm like 100% positive we've been visited. For sure, I believe in it wholeheartedly. Mm. I'm a believer. I don't know about Bigfoot, but I believe in aliens.
Are you still talking?
Okay, so I have to hit Wilk every once in a while with that hand kill one. I also like I got a good.
Oh hell no!
Yeah.
Yeah, Wilk. Yeah, Mar. I'll start. Sorry. This is the one I wanted. So if one of us is on a long ramble, I just go.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Yes.
All right, man. Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. We all care. Good. This is interesting as hell.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
The question is often asked.
That's those Phoenix lights, I think. Will.
Disclosure. Yeah, happen. It is. That is right there.
Come together.
The answer is, it has.
The New York Times revealed the existence of a secret government program to investigate UFO sightings.
This is a very complicated story. I have put a briefing together for every president since Bill Clinton. Interplanetary war. This is the next big thing that they want the public to be afraid of.
This is a national security imperative.
We must have American dominance in space.
But it's all a lie.
The national security state, they want to establish a planetary government by spinning that this is a threat.
One set of facts, two narratives. The threat isn't extraterrestrial. The threat is covert human.
The Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind protocols developed by Dr. Greer is the most dangerous information he has released to the public. Human-initiated communication with extraterrestrials is possible.
Oh. All of us are going to know the truth. This is our moment.
We have the ability to change life for the better.
Consciousness isn't limited by space and time. What I'm doing with CE5 is the foundation for the relationship between humans and these extraterrestrials.
But the implications are absolutely profound. That shows consciousness does affect reality.
A critical mass of people can shift an entire civilization. But the intelligence community don't want the public to know. They say, what's in it for me? It's easy.
Full spectrum dominance, that said.
If you can take it.
Oh my God.
All right, Wilk, want to say a few last words? Thanks for watching.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Constance. This is Professor Mike. We got James here. Thanks for doing this, guys. We got Area 51. What's our next one going to be? Anybody know?
Hey, James, I was going to have a banner go across the bottom that said, me playing basketball against Meyer is like Vince Carter dunking on that guy on from France. And then I was going to show that video. But then when I tested the videos, that one would have got it pulled. So I had to drop that whole joke. But
it failed just like you trying to dunk on me. So anyways.
So, guys, thanks a lot. This is Constance signing off. Make sure to subscribe. Go follow the Digital Academy as well.
Love you guys. Thanks for watching,
man.
Good night. You guys rule. Cheers. Later, brothers.
Later.
Area 51. Aliens.